This is Danny, Dave, and Moore.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere.
Everywhere.
At 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
It's the 5 o'clock refresh. It's brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light, Washington's most refreshing beer. Danny, Dave, and Moore live from T-Mobile Park, Edgar's Cantina. Bob Stelt in for Danny O'Neill.
We're 27 minutes away from Shannon Dreher appearing. You ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you guys at odds these days?
No, we're not. We've been pleasant with each other.
It's been very boring.
Are you at evens?
Yeah, I think
Where are you?
Yeah,
have you taken your foot off the gas? What's going on, man?
Maybe I'll get her going today.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Hey, how about we just, like, have a pleasant conversation?
I don't think that satisfies Jim.
I don't think so. It's not going to satisfy me either. I like the
All right, I'm going to be over there then.
Yeah. You missed how satisfied he was when he felt like he made us hurry over here to the set. When you sent us those textbook
That's blah, because so. I was strolling knowing that he was lying.
That was funny. You got to admit that was funny.
I've seen that act so many times.
He was so excited.
So freaking boring that I don't... Not even close to being affected.
He was so excited. He goes, did you hurry? I go, yeah, we hurried a little bit. He goes, yes!
Yeah.
Yes!
Do the listeners understand what we're talking about? Probably not.
No. Go ahead and
explain. Because we were going to meet Tom Murphy at 2:30 for an interview, and that was what I was told by our producer, and yet...
Because it was happening at 2:45.
But there was a change to 3 o'clock or whatever. Tom Murphy couldn't be here. But since you guys weren't here at 2:30 and I was, I sent you a text saying, he's here, I'm going to start the interview, and I just pictured... All three of you just like going, oh, my God, we got to hurry up and get there. And I think somebody at least had their heart skip a beat. No?
No, it was more, is he kidding or is he not? We weren't sure. So nobody was running.
I thought it was funny.
I know you did.
As long as you're entertaining someone, Jim.
The street team told me to send it, so I did.
Yeah. If Jim doesn't think something's funny, that's where it gets a little... Oh, okay, Jim, you make the rules, and you can tell us what is and isn't funny.
I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Yeah, I know, you don't care.
It's just like Danny, when he tells his stupid jokes, he doesn't care if anyone else laughs as long as he thinks it's funny.
He's more satisfied if people don't laugh.
Yeah.
He likes that.
That's
a win
fair.
For him.
That is fair.
Yeah, that's fine, but I'm just like, well, when somebody else thinks something funny and it's kind of sticking it to you, all of a sudden you get a little, that's not cool.
You're not a good teammate.
You're not
on my team.
Yeah, he gets very indignant all of a sudden.
Every time I say you guys aren't on my team, do you think I'm really being serious? Like I'm really hurt?
A little bit.
I love that I'm in the middle of a show counseling session here. This is good. Just get it out. Purge.
Well, it's cheaper than the counselors I go see.
So the secondary last night, Ugo Amadi pretty much shined.
There's a smooth transition, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who'd you like last night?
All right, what'd you think of the Oregon Duck there last night?
Jason? I actually thought he was fantastic.
Yeah, he looked good.
He outplays his size.
Hey, before we get into the specifics of last night, I wanted to ask Dave and you, Jim, about this. I sat with Ray Roberts for a long time last night, talking about a debate I had with Groz and Tom and sort of the value of preseason. Where basically Groz is, you could get away with no games. I'd be just fine. I'm like, just because you don't enjoy watching it doesn't mean there's no value to it. I'm not trying to sell you on it's fun to watch, but how else are coaches going to evaluate, especially when you can't tackle to the ground in practice, right? You get a chance to go up against a team that's actually scheming against you. And, you know, even as a veteran, Dave, you've got new faces in there every year. So the guy playing next to you, how else do you develop a chemistry and a rhythm with these guys? I feel like it's a necessary evil. Again, I'm not trying to sell it as, man, it's so much fun to watch. I'm not saying that, but the idea that it's unnecessary to me just seems ridiculous.
I think it's fun to watch. I like watching these young guys and how they're going to play. You know, I was asked that question yesterday. Like, for the veterans, it's about, you know, fresh meat. Like, we're tired of hitting each other. Let's go and compete against somebody else. You know, that's what's cool for them. But for a rookie, man, I remember coming in and seeing, like, that helmet and the game jersey and the pants and everything on hanging in my locker. I'm like, I'm on a pro football team. It's awesome. So I love that part of it. And then the other thing is, you're not going to sit there and look at stat. That's one thing. I mean, you have to do it. Like on our pre and post game on Q13, you've got to put stats up there, right? You got to talk about a guy's stats, but they're so meaningless. You know, what it really is about how does a guy play? How does he shine? How does he respond to going out there? Is he able to turn his brain off and just go to work? And so, you know, you look like Jacob Martin. I loved the way he went about that last night. You could just tell that, like, I'm out here to get better. and I'm going to get closer and closer and closer every game and use every opportunity. So that's what that's all about. And that's for that reason, I just think it's awesome. Look at, we were talking about this the other day, Jim. What about all the pregame, preseason stories that we've had, like Nick Reed, the 1 year, he got like 6 or 7 sacks in the preseason. Troy Maine Pope. Remember little Troy Maine Pope?
He was
just
a great
story and everything. So those are the things that you look for. You're not looking for, like, the fact that the defense gave up that big long run, that doesn't mean anything because, you know, those are a bunch of mishmash guys that are put together. They haven't played together. It's not the guys that are going to be there. I remember thinking this after the preseason when they made all the cuts and everything, looking around the room and going, these are the guys that I'm going to go to battle with, and I know who they are. I know what it's about. It was always kind of unsettling when you'd have 90 guys in there and you didn't know who was going to make the team, who wasn't. Some guys you could play with, some you didn't really know. And then you get that tight unit where it's like, you know, 45, 46 on game day, and you're able to count on those guys. That's what the preseason's all about. So I love the preseason.
Even as a veteran, though, don't you need those reps, some reps, to bring in the new guys, to just develop that chemistry and that rhythm with a new guy who's playing next to you who wasn't there the season previous?
Yeah, I mean, that stuff definitely, you know, but you get that through practice as well. Bobby Wagner said something in the little production meeting that we had the other day that I thought was really interesting because I haven't looked at things this way. I feel like you need to tackle. You need to hit full speed. You need to, you know, tackle a guy to the ground. He said, I think you have to be in a better position to not tackle a guy. You don't get to just rely on blowing him up and taking him to the ground. You have to get your feet and your hands in a really good position to not tackle him. And I thought that was really brilliant, what he said. I'd never thought about it that way, so I guess I'm kind of old school about the hitting and all that and what that means and that you have to have that. But I think that they're adapting to not going full speed and not getting all those reps. They're able to get it done. So it's less about the full contact than ever, I think. And then teams are adapting to that, and I think that makes sense. But I don't think anybody does it better than the Seahawks.
Would you want to see preseason go away, Jim? Do you think it's unnecessary?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because I sit there and I think I'd like to see an 18-game regular season and only 2 preseason games. But like Dave's saying, last night I enjoyed watching the game because knowing all the different storylines going in and seeing how they were going to play out. The only thing I was curious with you, Dave, is how do you tell when someone is actually doing well out there? And what I'm getting at is, like, you know, Paxton Lynch, he looked great in the second half and everything, but how much of it had to do with Paxton Lynch doing well and who he was going against? And so I always sit there and think, a guy like Paxton Lynch, when they play against Minnesota, I'd like to see him start the next game and go against Minnesota's frontline guys, even if it's just for a series or two, to see if he can do it against better players.
Yeah, I think they should do that because, you know, I feel like they already know what they got with Geno Smith. So, but, you know, just watching individual plays. So just to make, like, an example, if a guy misses a block and you got a guy like Nick Reed that we talked about, he's just running in there getting sacks. And at the end of the preseason, guy has 7 sacks. Well, how did he get them? Was he fighting? Did he put a pass rush move on? Did he make some unbelievable move? Or did it just the C part and he ran through and made a tackle? I mean, that's the thing I think you look for is, you know, a running back. Did all the defensive players, you know, did somebody go the wrong way? Did everybody get knocked down and then he just ran through a huge hole? Or did he make his way through it? So, yeah, just you have to be kind of discerning of, like, who's good and who isn't in the preseason based on how they got there, you know?
Even in that scenario, people qualify it saying, well, yeah, you're going up against the vanilla defense. They're not scheming for you. They're not in there during the week looking at game tape of Paxton Lynch saying, how do we stop him?
Yeah.
But you know, when you see Jazz Ferguson last night, as good as he was in the second half, I mean, there were guys draped on him, and I don't really care if they're third-string cornerbacks or first-string cornerbacks. He made some tough catches.
Yeah, right.
And so I thought that was impressive, and then I flash back to it, and I always bring it up because I was so surprised that
Kaysom Williams
didn't make the team.
Yeah.
He had a great preseason. In fact, it seemed that Kaysom Williams had made the team, the local kid from Skyline, and what a great story it was going to be, and then he ends up getting cut. So I see a guy like Ferguson last night and think, man, he's really worked his way into this, and maybe he's going to make the team, and yet you think back to Williams and what happened with him.
But then do you trust the coaching staff? Because what happened with Williams after that? It's not like he showed up on another roster and became a star. So
they were right.
So, yeah, you're going, All right, they knew. We all marveled at what we saw. They obviously saw something different in their evaluation, made the cut. He didn't show up anywhere else and become a star, so you got to sort of trust, as much as it seems counterintuitive. Like, the guy caught everything that was thrown to him, or Troy Maine Pope looks unstoppable, whatever the situation is. They seem to be right more than they're wrong.
Yeah, but it's not very often that they let a guy go, and maybe Spencer Ware a little bit,
right,
but not really.
Yeah. I mean, Alex Collins for a season.
Yeah, for one season.
Well, Alex
right.
Collins was good.
For a season.
For
yeah.
1 year, and then the next year, not really that much. So, yeah, that was
it. I heard you twice.
Wow.
That was good.
This, well, we got a little.
Not sure what's going on here.
It's a good thing Danny's not here, because he would go.
That's some of the best audio I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, sounded like a battery.
I like to think that what I'm saying is so important that people want to hear it twice.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Maybe we're the only ones that heard it twice, and nobody has any idea what we're talking about right now.
I know. That was weird. Yeah. But anyway, what were we talking about?
Just the value of because yeah. It was. I was talking with Ray Roberts about it,
right?
And he was saying it needs to be somewhere in between where what it was when you guys were playing, when he was playing, where you guys had two-a-days and pads, and you were hitting. And now these guys don't hit at all. You're not allowed to tackle to the ground. And he's saying it needs to be somewhere in between there in terms of what happens at training camp. And there, and that, especially for a guy like him on the offensive line, if you've got a new guy next to you, you got to get some game reps in the preseason. Maybe it doesn't have to be four games, but the idea of, oh, there's no value to the preseason, why does it happen, is a misnomer. It's just I think that's a fan talking who says, man, it's not high quality football, why do we have it?
Yeah, and people talk about how, you know, the fans get charged the full boat on the tickets.
Right.
I can see that part of it.
Yeah,
you know, maybe they should give away cheaper beer or something like that. That would turn the whole thing,
because it isn't quality football. I mean, we 26
fans.
Penalties last night.
Yeah,
I mean, flags were flying left and right.
But that could have happened with the first stringers all night too, because of how they're looking at offensive holding now. They're going to call more defensive holding penalties this year. It sounds like they're going to call more on defensive linemen than ever before.
Well, it's an exhibition for the officials too.
Yeah.
So
everybody's in the preseason.
They're very trigger happy. We always see this in the preseason, and I do understand what you're saying about, you know, whether or not they should charge more, charge less, but people still pay it, so why would they stop?
Now, yeah, how full was the stadium last night?
Three quarters. There were a lot of empty seats. I mean, there were a lot of seats to be had.
Oh, Nishant said he got $10 seats.
Oh, that's true. Secondary market.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Third
I mean,
party.
It's.
And then Nishant sends me an email and says, hey, I'm here at the stadium. Like,
was he hoping you'd come
did you
to
get
a
that
seat?
This morning?
He probably thinks, yeah, I got my email. I look at my email like at noon. So, all right, that's awesome, Nishant. How about you text me next time? I can operate text.
Were you supposed to come visit him in his seat or what?
No, he was going to come into the. We got to get him into the press box for the next one.
He's going to the Browns game.
Oh, okay.
He's probably listening right now.
Oh, wait,
hopefully.
He's going to. Oh, that's right.
Because he goes to Ohio State. Nishant Kondapudi is our all-star intern, and
I just hope he doesn't get a big head because we're talking about him.
Oh yeah,
he looks like he could tend to be a little cocky.
You think he's got that element in him?
No
absolutely not.
He has none of that.
He is like the most humble.
Say, I didn't see that ever. When I spoke to him.
No,
he is awesome.
But so, he's teasing. Going. It's in October. I think it's week 6 or 7. The Seahawks play the Browns
Cleveland.
In Cleveland. Yeah. He goes to Ohio State, and he'll be there. So you get him. You just said it on the record.
Okay.
Yeah, well, and hopefully they smash the Browns.
Hopefully he doesn't send me an
I'm
email.
You're not a Mayfield fan, are you?
I'm not a Mayfield fan at all.
I'm with
what'd you,
Bob.
Think of, what'd you really?
I wanna,
what
I
about
I
when he shotgunned that Miller Lite? He shotgunned that Miller Lite. He was pretty effective.
I've seen a lot of college kids do that. I'm not impressed.
You weren't. what don't you like about Baker Mayfield?
Him. I don't like his attitude. I didn't like the whole Hugh Jackson thing. I thought it was absurd.
It's terrible.
It was absurd. He got fired. And he's mad that he took a job with their rival. I'm like, he didn't quit to take the job. He was fired. Is he supposed to turn down an income? Is he supposed to turn down another opportunity because it's your rival?
And then
somehow
he glares at Hugh Jackson.
Yeah, going down the sideline.
Hugh Jackson was coaching in the league when I played.
Yeah.
This guy's been in the NFL for a long time. You've just got here. And
yeah.
Now you're popping off to everybody. I can't stand
his
that
teammates
kid.
Pulled him aside to tell him to quit popping off. I'm just like, I'd like to see him face plant this season.
Really? Yeah. You dislike him that much? You want to see him fail?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Remember, we heard it from Mark Schlereth last year when we talked to him.
What did he say?
On our show. He said something about how he hasn't, I don't know if I can say it. Well, he said it on our air.
Wait, 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 it. Incoming.
He hasn't peed a drop in the NFL.
Oh, I see.
In the NFL bucket or something like that. You know, and he was coming after Schlereth, who is a multiple, you know, Super Bowl winner, Pro Bowl type of guy. Does a great job.
And creator the Jeff Hostetler larynx protector.
Yeah, he did do that, too. That's another story. But anyway, he came after Mark Schlereth. I just think he's a punk. I think he's going to be a good player, but at this point, he's talking too much.
Way too much.
Just be quiet and let it happen.
Listen, I know the hype train is behind Cleveland. I get why. They've been a disaster forever. I mean, in two combined seasons, they won one game before last year. So I get it. I get that they're on the upswing and people are excited about it. But the hype around him is enough. It's just he had a decent season last year. Look at his numbers. His quarterback rating was barely better than Eli Manning, who everybody said shouldn't even be wearing a uniform. But we're talking about Baker Mayfield. He's appearing in the top 10 quarterback lists that you see. I'm like, okay, he was okay last year. He wasn't an all pro. He didn't light it up, the likes of which we've never seen. Mm. I just think there's a lot of hype. I think he hears it. I think he buys it as well. He may end up being a stud. I have no idea. I just, on an individual, personal basis, I don't like him.
Well, I just think guys that talk that way, like early on, like Ryan Leaf was, that it ends up coming back to bite them. That you don't see guys that are cocky and talk before their time. I mean, look, if he's done it for 5, 6, 7 years, fine. He can talk all he wants, but not now. I mean, he had a good year last year, but you just got here. You know, and technically he's not even vested. Like, he's not even a vested veteran yet. After your third, I think it's a second or third game in your third year, that's when you're a veteran. And so he's going into his second year, so I'm with you on that.
Are you rooting for him, Jim?
I guess I just pull for him just because of the Browns fans who have struggled, I mean, for so long, not winning there, not being in the playoffs. They seemed to make a step last year. I think they were 8-8 or whatever. And, I can't really explain it because some people like him I don't like and other people like him I do like. And for some reason, Mayfield has just not rubbed me the wrong way. I actually liked the comments about Hugh Jackson going to the rival because I don't...
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, he got fired.
He was fired.
Is he not? Is he supposed to not go there?
Is he supposed to tell them, sorry, you guys were a rival of the team that fired me, so I can't work for you?
Can I tell you my dog pound story? We went there when I was with Denver the first year, and they were throwing the milk bones out there and everything. But there was a guy that built this beautiful, elaborate sign, and it said, Elway, your dog meat. You know, because they're the pound. But he spelled your Y-O-U-R. And so he had this whole thing, and he's holding up, and he thought he was so cool. And so at a point where, you know, it got quiet, I went over, and we're in warm-ups, and I said, hey, something head. You know, I can't say it on the air. You spelled it wrong. And so he looked at it, and then he looked back at me, and he started flipping me off and screaming at me. And I just laughed and trotted off the field, and then I didn't see the sign the rest of the time. So the guy had probably
shamed him
like 2.5 hours doing this whole thing, and he had a grammatical error.
He forgot the apostrophe in the E.
He didn't embrace the contraction. It was no good.
Yeah.
It's no good.
So that's Cleveland fans for you. So I don't feel sorry for the Cleveland fans.
Look at this guy texting in. I can't believe I agree with Bob, but Mayfield is a jackass. What do you mean you can't believe you agree with me? You're tired of being right? What's the matter?
How about this? Bob comes on our show, and he gets to say it, and I don't.
Yeah.
Say what?
That word's taboo, Bob.
Yeah, I got banned from that word.
You got banned from
I that? Almost quit radio, Bob.
He's saying donkey.
Donkey?
Now.
Yeah, I have to say donkey.
You know,
now.
If you allude to it enough,
wow.
We're eventually.
Or how about if we just say it enough that it'll eventually just become commonplace and nobody
or
will
be shocked. Or we do the opposite and we let it just.
Or, yeah, we get fired. That's right. That's a downfall.
Well, hey, what'd you think of DK Metcalf last night?
Yeah, those would have been spectacular catches.
That's what Pete said. You want to hear what Pete said?
Did he? Yeah.
After the game.
Let's hear from Pete. He's better.
Cut number one, he said it was an almost spectacular night.
Oh, just a hair from spectacular. Just a hair from spectacular, you know. He's made a couple of those catches before. He got a little clicked heels with the guy and almost got the first one, and the second one was just a bit out, you know, just off his fingertips. But you could see him. He got behind him, just like we're hoping, and he's a big threat.
Yeah. It was one of those
spectacular.
Yeah. Well, you see, and he's made those catches. You know what? Now that we got the shot caller sheet going here, see, Raj, can I get number four? Deshaun Chet is one of my favorite dudes ever. But let's hear number four.
Probably my favorite play of the night was Deshaun Shedd, you know, making the sack in the end zone. So great blitz, great call at the right time. We hit it right. Burke Irvin did a nice job of setting it up, and Deshaun just hit it perfectly. And, you know, it was a huge play. It was great to see Deshaun do that.
Excuse me, Dave, but what did Deshaun Shedd have to do with DK Metcalf?
Nothing.
He just saw the
sheet. I just want to hear about my buddy, Deshaun Shedd. Well, we're not buddies, but I think we are. Anyway, you know what? You know what I love about
him? He married a Coug. I know that.
He married a Coug, and yeah. She is the daughter of a judge in Sammamish. So, yeah, he's a Sammamish guy now. Anyway, they ran kind of a little cross there, and Perkurvin kind of took the blocker, and then Shedd came really tight, got the sack. He is such a – you know what I love about him? He did an interview last night in the locker room. You know, remember Byron Maxwell?
Of course.
I used to love watching him get interviewed because whenever –
just stare at
somebody,
you.
He would just stare at you when you ask him questions. That's what Deshaun Shedd does. I mean, like, he's so
we just
engaged.
Had him on last week. He did that.
Yeah, he just, like, is so – like, you're the only person in the world.
Yeah.
I love that about
He gives
him.
You very thoughtful answers. He's taking in every word you say.
He isn't.
Processing it. And giving you a very clear, thought-out answer.
He checks every box where, like, okay, he's a free agent, you know, and fought his way into the league from Portland State. He was a decathlete. I mean, and he just is, he started off as a safety. They moved him to corner. And I guess to me that has a rubber band effect because I thought, oh, man, there's no way he can play corner. He played corner really well. And then, you know, now he's back here, and I'm so happy for him because, you know, I don't –
Where does he factor in, Dave? It's
I don't think
your
Detroit's
corner,
a very good
Well, and even
franchise.
He said he agreed with Pete, who said he wasn't 100% when he came back.
Yeah.
He physically wasn't there, and I asked him about Pete's comment, do you agree with it, do you not? And he goes, no, he's right.
Yeah.
I wasn't. I said it. I said I was 100%. I wasn't.
But where do you see him fitting in?
It's a great question because, look, he's faster. He looks more explosive. But there has been four times that I've had to look and say, are you sure that's Deshaun Shedd? I'm looking. Is that 35? Because I thought, that doesn't look like him. So I think he can play anywhere. It'd be up to him, really. I mean, I think probably safety is the best for him because he's a physical guy, too. But that guy, I mean, he cut his teeth on special teams, and he's just done pretty much anything you want. I'm just so glad to have him here. There's no question in my mind that he makes the team.
All right, Jim, are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm looking forward. I was
Are you
looking
ready?
For the grand entrance.
All right, coming up, the best reporter in the business, I've been told. Shannon Dreyer is going to join us.
Where
We're
does
talk
it say a, that?
It says it right there. It says it right there. Coming up.
Okay.
Coming up, Jim.
Live Dave, from Dave just dropped my phone.
I just knocked your phone number. I might have just done you a huge favor. Yeah. It might be broken.
There are no numbers in there anyway. He's fine. Yeah. We're live at Edgar's Cantina. It is Danny, David Moore, Bob Stelton in for Danny O'Neill on 710 ESPN Seattle.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio,
it's Danny, Dave, and Moore, streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
Here we are live at Edgar's Cantina. It's Danny, Dave, and Moore, Bob Stelton in for Danny O'Neill. Where did Jim go?
Well, he's just screwing around.
Is he? All right. Well, Shannon Dreyer, our Mariners insider, is standing here with us. Hi, Shannon.
Bob?
It's good to see you.
Did you catch a baseball yet?
I didn't. One came flying in here, but it wasn't really that close to us. So
okay.
I'm prepared, though. I'm ready because I don't think Jim's going to catch it. Jim was looking forward to this segment more than any other today, though. I got to tell you that.
Mike Zunino's going to take batting practice at some point.
Oh,
so
he's going to bomb us.
Yeah, yeah.
He likes hitting
dangerous.
It over here. Yeah. Hey, we saw Ichiro out there throwing batting practice.
Ichiro's been very busy.
He pretty much does everything out here, right?
He does do everything, and it was funny because we actually talked a little bit about him before he threw the batting practice. We didn't know he was going to do that today, but as you know, he has a role now in the organization. What it is, we're not exactly sure, but he is here.
Same as last year, right?
Before every... It's a little bit different. He's actually now more in a coaching capacity.
No, meaning we don't know exactly what he does.
I think he prefers it that way. There's Ichiro. What's he doing? But he sits in on the coaching meetings, and he's just kind of learning and trying to figure out what he wants to do next. But I found out on the road trip that he's been coming in on off days, which he always has done, but he's been throwing batting practice to Malik Smith on the off days here at the park. And then just a couple minutes ago, Malik was down in the dugout. He came running in from the field. He was shagging. It wasn't his turn to hit. And he didn't have shoes on. And he had on the socks that have the individual toes, like the gloves. And I looked at that, and I'm like, well, that's got Ichiro written all over. And he's like, how'd you know? I'm like, why are you out there taking fly balls without your shoes? just to kind of feel the ground, be a little bit more balanced, he said. So then he put on his shoes and went and took batting practice. But, yeah, you see strange things.
Tell us the legend of Tom Johnson.
Tom Murphy.
Murphy.
Tom Johnson.
You know what? I looked up Tom Murphy.
Tom Johnson. He went back to the Vikings.
I punched in Tom Johnson, and there was like 700 Tom Johnsons on Wikipedia, and I was like, oh, it's Tom Murphy. And then there was like 800
Bunch
Tom
of Tom Murphys, too.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll just put it to you this way.
So Tom Murphy.
Dave, he could wrestle a bear, and he would win.
Ooh, I like it. Does he think he can beat up a bear?
I'm sure he does.
I think
he probably could, but he is the strong guy. In that
He's got that strong guy handshake.
He is the guy that everybody talks about, just legendary stories about what he does in the weight room, and he's the guy.
He was fun to talk to. Nice guy. Huge fan of The Office. Jim, not understanding any of The Office references, but it was still a fun conversation.
Jim's being far too quiet. Is something wrong here? Are you intimidated by Bob? I'm going to have to blame Bob
for
this one.
I'm a little disappointed because you and I haven't gotten into it for a long time. It's like we're best friends again.
Too nice to each other?
I figure you're in enough trouble, so I should just lay off.
Enough trouble with
you. This is true. This is true. Yeah, I know that feeling. Okay, so what should we make of the rest of the season?
You know, rebuilds are painful. They're not for the weak of heart. They are deemed to be necessary in certain situations. And I think that you just hope that you see improvement with the players that are here, and you hope that you see a lot of the young players and just kind of enjoy their debuts. There are some that are going to come up and play a little bit. There's some that are going to come up and probably not play. It's just going to get their feet wet, learn the lay of the land. I think I would view it as you're almost to the end. It has been a tough, tough first year of the rebuild. But, you know, we should see Justice Sheffield in the next couple of weeks, something I'm very much looking forward to. We should see Justin Dunn at some point. It'll be the first time we've seen him against big leaguers. I'm looking forward to that. Jake Fraley, we all saw him in spring training. He was fantastic. Cannot wait to see if that translates. He's just made rapid progress throughout the year. You want to see Mitch Haniger come back and see if he has found something, because he wasn't hitting with the regularity that he had before he was hurt. Hope he's done a lot of hitting work since he's been on the IL, but it's important that you see good things from him at the plate in the final weeks when he does get back. I think we will see Felix make a couple of starts. So I think that, you know, you're not looking at what the record is. I hope that we see some better baseball than we saw in the month of May and that we saw in the month, you know, the majority of July. But it's going to be an up and down affair. There's no question about it.
How many of these players that are with the big club right now, not the ones you mentioned, but the ones that are currently here, realistically, do you think are part of the building plan moving forward that are going to be here, say, in 2021-22?
Well, I think you've got, I mean, Yusei Kikuchi contractually will be. Kyle Seager contractually will be. Marco Gonzalez, you hope that he is still a mainstay in the rotation at that point. That'll mean he's done good things in the 2 years before. I don't think there are a lot. Daniel Vogelbach could or could not be. I think you're still looking to see him hit lefties. We've seen him make some nice strides in the field this year. That's been answered, but he's had some big slumps too. I think these last couple of weeks or last 5-6 weeks are important for him to show that as well, but it's not a whole lot.
Crawford?
Oh, JP is, I think, the one that they're building around.
He feels like the one that you feel the most level, the highest level of confidence saying, yeah, I could see him being here in 22 and 23.
Not just because of contract, yeah.
Yeah, just because of who he is, talent-wise, his age, the other guys, that you could make a case that none of them would be here.
Well, and there's also to take into consideration that some could be traded. You know, you like what the catchers have done, but you do have a young prospect in Cal Raleigh who's coming and other prospects behind him as well. So if there is a value that's put on one of the catchers a year from now, I don't think Jerry would hesitate to make a deal there. But as far as the true foundational pieces, Mitch Haniger, I'm not convinced he'll be here in 2 years. We'll see. But at some point, you know, it's going to be, are you going to extend or are you going to move on? And if he's not extending, they will probably make a move with him down the road at some point. So I think that, you know, most of your future team is still in the minors right now.
Yeah. Is there a pitching prospect that looks like he could be a number one starter for the Mariners in time?
Number one, I mean, every team has a number one. Are you talking about an ace or are you talking about
a legit
anything
ace
better than what
one
we've seen this year?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Okay.
But it's too soon.
Because Marco and Kikuchi, I look at them and I'm going, maybe twos, but probably threes, and hopefully not fours.
Yeah. I think Logan Gilbert, it's really early, but he has moved quickly. He's impressed. His rehab outing last night, he struck out Yadier Molina twice, who was there on a rehab assignment. I think that I wouldn't say that I see an ace down there. I don't think you have a top, lights on fire type pitching prospect down in the minor leagues right now. Although the guys that they just drafted, they are guys with high velocity. They are guys with more than two pitches. They are more mature guys with college kind of finishing on them. I'm interested to see where they go. And the other thing that I would say is I think that it's going to not take as long to get pitching prospects up as it has in the past. With the technology that they're using, particularly if they're college pitchers, with the analytics that they have, the technology that they're using, the teaching methods, what they know about biometrics right now, I think they're going to move a lot quicker. But is there that absolute shiny number one type, ace type future guy down there? I don't think so. But you could have some very, very strong twos.
Vogie got kicked out of the game the other night.
Yes, he did.
That was awesome.
That was so awesome when he was ejected.
Do you remember that? I didn't know he had that in him, though. Seriously.
He's talking all the time.
Really?
He is talking. If you watch him in an at-bat, most of it's kind of self-talk, and he's kind of, why did you swing at that, or, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But he will talk to the umpire, and as you know, there are unwritten rules in baseball where you can talk to the umpire. There's certain words that you probably shouldn't use.
I heard the umpire screaming out, "I told him not to say that."
Oh, really?
On the TV broadcast. I told him not to say that.
And then the other thing is not to show them up. Don't turn around and talk. So a lot of times you'll see guys just sitting there. It looks like they're talking to themselves, and they are talking to the umpire. But Bogey
you can't look at him.
You cannot look at them. Then you're showing them up in that regard. So, but he's been the victim. He's been on the wrong end of some bad calls. He knows the strike zone, and there's also frustration. He struggled the second half quite a bit at the plate. Mm-hmm. So when he doesn't get that call, it hurts that much more.
Last one quickly. I just want to get a thought on Malik's, because I feel like there's probably not anybody that works harder than him. I know the results haven't been what everybody wants for the season, but all I ever see, pictures you post, Ryan Divish post, everybody posts these pictures of him out there early, working in batting practice, working in the field. Is he one of the harder workers on this team?
He's the hardest working. He has done more early work than any player that I've ever seen in covering this team. It has been constant. Every single day, he and Chris Prieto are out here doing outfield drills. Every day. Well before batting practice, well before the first round of early work, they're out there doing that. He stayed late two nights ago after the game because everybody's been in a slump that hasn't been named Kyle Seager. But he's been having some problems at the plate, and after the game, he came and found Tim Laker and found Jared DeHart, the other hitting coach, and said, I need to work. And they went into the video room, and they looked over the videos, and we're talking well past midnight here, and then he got the bat. Did you actually swing? Yeah, got the bat out, went to the cage, started taking swings. Keeps notes on everything that he does. I've loved covering him. I think that we have seen improvement in the outfield. Because of the work that he puts in, I'm curious to see if we do see more. But, yeah, he's by far the most early work that I've ever seen a player do through an entire season.
Shannon, it's good to talk to you. Good to see you. And Jim didn't make you mad, so I think everybody won here.
Jim didn't say anything. I'm worried.
Well,
okay?
I'm trying to behave myself. I mean, I can't stand watching what we're watching. I guess we're just supposed to ignore it like it's not happening.
Shannon, we had him lobotomized. Just partially.
Apparently it just wore off.
like all of what's happening doesn't matter, right?
Jim, we've been through this many, many times. But it doesn't mean that it's fun to watch. It does, but it's not a huge surprise.
I have a hard time being convinced that this doesn't matter.
Jim, let
happening.
Me tell you this. When they played the Houston Astros and it looked like there was this huge divide between the two teams, the payroll of the team that the Mariners had out on the field, they've got about $143 million right now total money that they are paying this year. And a lot of that is players that are not here. The payroll of the team that they had when they were in Houston up against just Houston at full strength, $44 million.
Okay,
than the Miami Marlins in that everybody was just a pickup.
I'll see your comment and raise you this one. Why is Oakland always better than the Mariners?
Oakland is spending money now. Oakland was developing, and Oakland also has taken big steps back. But what Oakland has not done is taken the biggest step back, and that has resulted in they get a wild card game every 3 years, and that's about it. The plan here is that you get more than just the wild card. We don't know if it's going to work, but the way that Oakland has operated, as they played for the wild card.
Okay, it's nice to see you.
You too.
Thanks, Shannon.
Good to see you, Shannon.
What have you done to him?
I didn't do anything.
Something's wrong.
I love
Shannon.
Shannon, I love you.
There she is, our Mariners insider, Shannon Dreher. We're going to come back. I love this segment. We're going to find out what we learned. It's my favorite segment of this entire show.
It's next on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn.
Because knowledge is power.
It's my favorite segment of the day, guys.
Yeah, you like this, huh?
Usually I do.
It's called What Dave Screwed Up. Well, I'm running the show, but since you're here, we didn't have any of that.
Well, now, Jim's here, though. He wasn't here last time you and I did this.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if it may feature him.
Yeah, hopefully. What did we learn?
Hey, we learned stuff today. We had Tom Murphy.
Thank goodness.
We had a fabulous guest in Tom Murphy earlier today. And we started off by learning that he's not feeling podcast suggestions.
Did you know that there's a podcast coming out in about a week? It's called Bark. It's the second season.
Really?
And you think The Office is cool? Yeah. Wait till you check out Bark.
Really?
Yeah. I just talk about dogs.
Yeah, you ever utter the
Do you think you'll listen to it? I mean, honestly, is there any chance that you would listen to Bark?
I think there's other things on the list.
Shut up,
that would probably come up first.
Dave, I saw that. I don't think I heard what you said.
I think there's other things on the list that
I heard.
How about him?
You don't like him anymore?
The what? No, I hope Narvi has a start tonight.
Tom Murphy is awesome. He's a treasure.
Yeah, he got that Jim should be made fun of. He bought right into that.
I feel like he has a future.
Who says
on our
I should
show?
Be made fun of?
I did.
Oh, I just like that he was throwing out Office references, and Jim just gave him a blank look.
Yeah,
it's completely Jim unaware.
Know
is that where culture. That's where she, that's what she said originated?
No,
but it was
no. No, it's just a stupid thing that Michael Scott always says because he's very awkward, and that's the thing about that show.
It's a stupid joke,
yeah.
And the stupid guy in that show makes the stupid joke over and over.
What's the other one that he says? Where he's like okie dokie or something like that. He has all these stupid
things. Yeah,
I just had the weirdest
of
deja vu.
Yeah.
We also learned that Wyman is a bull in a china shop.
And then he got blocked a little bit, and he tried to step around the block. And so, oh, man, I just
knocked over Edgar.
I just knocked Edgar
Did
over.
Did you break
Did
Edgar?
Break it?
You broke him.
You broke Edgar on Edgar weekend?
Sorry, Edgar.
I'll fix it.
Oh, I think it's okay. It just points back in.
I think you broke it twice.
I might be the clumsiest ex-athlete. My wife always says exactly what you said, the bull in the china shop. I break things at the house all the time.
You weren't a wide receiver, or corner, or something. You're a linebacker. You're supposed to knock stuff over.
I suppose. The other day, I just turned around off the sink, and there was like this crystal bowl, and my hand just hit it, and it just shattered into like 10 million pieces. And Shannon's like, where's my nice bowl? And I'm like, sorry.
It died.
That made me sad thinking of Shannon actually seeing that.
We learn anything else, or we got to go?
I think we have 30 seconds left.
You know, we got Mariners pregame coming up here.
There's lots of pressure going up to the hard out.
Oh, we got to thank our guest today, Tom Murphy. We
got
to thank Shannon Dreher. We got to thank John Clayton for joining us on the program. Great stuff out here. Thanks for having me, guys.
Nancy and Karen.
Nancy and Karen, thanks to everybody who came out. Thanks to Jessamine and Dave and Jim. Thanks so much.
Thanks for being here, Bob.
You did great, Bob.
It was fun. I had a great time.
Okay, Bob.
All right.
You can run the show anytime.
You guys enjoy Mariner baseball coming up. It's Danny, Dave, and Moore here live from Edgar's Cantina on 710 ESPN Seattle.